Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, Ephesians the 5th chapter, the Bible says this in verse 18, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. I have had this resonating off my heart now for many weeks, for many months, I might even say years, that I did not recognize it at the time. I have been calling out to God, and I've been crying out to God for years now, and this is the truth. I want more signs and wonders. I want more miracles. I want to see these things happening on a more consistent basis. And I have wondered, God, I know I'm preaching the word to the best of my ability with the gift you've given me. I endeavor to preach the word. And you said in the Bible that when I preach the word, it shall be accompanied with signs and wonders. And you know, obviously when people get born again, that's a miracle. That's the greatest miracle of all. You go from death into life. You go from being separated from God to becoming his very own child. And I understand when a person is restored to God, that too is a miracle. It's a powerful thing when someone is truly repentant and turns back to God after running away from God for years. And so, you know, and I recognize that and I understand that, but I'm ready for the notable miracles. I'm ready to, like, for example, when we prayed for Wade. Stage 3 cancer in his throat. I don't even know if all of you know this. We prayed for him. He was healed of cancer. Amen. We prayed for Timothy. She had a big tumor in her, I don't know where it was at, but it was in her stomach. And so, you know, the doctor said, "You got cancer." And we prayed with her. She went back to the doctor and it had shrunk completely up. And the doctor says, "You ain't got cancer anymore." Hallelujah. We prayed for Evelyn. I remember Evelyn wasn't able, remember she wasn't able to write? And then so glory to God, we prayed for her. And I still love to tell that story because I don't know if you remember that particular, how the Lord led me to pray with her and, well, everybody that day. We were doing more of a shout. I was having the people shout, and she started out just barely shouting, "Praise the Lord." I said, "No, shout. Praise the Lord." I said, "Shout." She said, "Praise the Lord." And when she said it the last time, she went out under the power. And she got back up healed, glory to God. She can write again, thank you, Jesus. And I prayed for her last week, and I'm believing God. I'm seeing a difference in her. Mark said the same thing. I'm seeing a difference in her. She's looking better. She's standing up stronger. She sounds good again, hallelujah. And I believe that the full manifestation of her healing is taking place in her physical body, amen? Glory to God. But I've been wanting this. I've been desiring this. I want more of this, God. And that's when God led me across this scripture. That's when I got a hold of this scripture. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And as we've seen in this study, that means to be being filled with the Spirit. It's to be a lifestyle of being filled. It's to be an ongoing process of being filled. Way too many Christians either have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or if they have received it, they're just kind of relying on that initial infilling and thinking that that's going to carry them. It won't. Did you hear what I just said? It won't. We have to be living this way constantly. Everybody say constantly. You know what that means? All the time. Day in, day out, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm endeavoring to get this. I want to do it every day of my life. I want to spend time. I mean, and one of the things that has helped me is I came to the realization that doesn't mean I have to take an hour or two and get away and pray in the Spirit. I can pray in the Spirit when I'm driving somewhere. I can pray in the Spirit when I'm in the shower. I can pray in the Spirit wherever I'm at, even in a store. I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to be, what's the word I'm looking like? Yeah, flamboyant. I was thinking more of a flake, but, you know, like a corn flake. You ever heard of them? You know, sometimes people get a little strange when they get filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know what it is. And it's not just when they get filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember one woman in particular, when I lived in Dallas. Dallas, Texas, if you've never been there before, you can't even begin to imagine the traffic unless you've been to a big city before. And in Dallas, it took us, we literally lived 15 minutes at most from our church. But it would take us over almost 2 hours to get there when we went there on Wednesday nights. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Ask me if I like that. Not even a little bit. So there's a lot of traffic there. You really have to have your wits about you when you're driving in traffic like this, like that. And so this particular individual said to me one day, oh, I'll just get over in the spirit and start to pray in the spirit and close my eyes and start to drive. And I looked at the person next to me. Lord, may you always let me know when she's on the highway, because I don't want to be anywhere near her. That's not the way it works, my friends. When God got us filled with the Spirit, he did not make us stupid. Hello? I'm not talking about anybody in here now. So some of you are like, look at me. You're being mean toward that girl. No, I'm not being mean toward her. I'm just letting you know that sometimes people get over into a ditch. That's called being in a ditch. We don't want to get into the ditch. We want to be going smack dab down the middle of the road. Amen. We want to be doing things according to God's word. But God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, listen to me, please. Always, when you don't have something that is in the Bible, do not let what somebody else has said to you in the past deter you or keep you from getting to that place. If you have been told, for example, healing passed away, and you're in need of healing, what does that do to you? And it makes it, that's a hurdle you have to overcome. How do you overcome it? How do you jump over that hurdle? You got to get into the Bible and find out what God's word says about it. What does the Bible say? This, not your mama, not your daddy, not your old pastor, not other people, but this is the final authority in our lives if we're Christians. Amen. And so if you have been told that the baptism of the Holy Spirit has passed away, that when the last apostle died away, it passed away, or you have even been told maybe that it's of the devil, because some people out there say that. If you have heard these things, listen, just say, Lord, I want to know the truth. I want to know what your word says, because I am going to let this be the anchor of my soul. I'm a stickler for what does the Bible say. And when I see it in your word, if I don't currently have it in my life, I'm believing you to elevate my life to that place where I'm able to receive it. Amen. Amen. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's available for everybody. It is God's will for everybody. And we're going to go through the scriptures and we're going to prove this out. Now, I said during this study that in order to be being filled with the Spirit, well, let me say this first. How do we get filled with the Holy Ghost? I mean, I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do we stay filled with the Holy Spirit? What's the key? One word. Speaking. Speaking. You're called to speak in other tongues. You're called to speak with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. You're called to speak by giving praise to God out of your mouth. I believe those are the three main ways. I'm not saying they're the only ways, but the three main ways to stay filled up with the Spirit of God. Amen. And so is it important for us to speak then? Does it matter? Listen, if you're going through your life as a Christian with your mouth shut, you're going to live a defeated lifestyle. I've heard one minister say you can never run at your giant with your mouth closed. You need to open up your mouth, just like David said, and said, I'm going to cut your head off, big boy. I'm going to feed your body to the birds of prey. Glory to God. He spoke out what he believed. And that's the exact same way here. You know, do you think, I'm not going to do this. I thought about it, but I'm not going to do this. If I wanted to take a drink of water right now, and I open up this bottle, it's got water in it, and I began to try to drink with my... Come here, Riley. Let's just use an example. Keep your mouth shut. What would happen if I tried to drink this bottle of water with my mouth shut? Am I going to get any of the water in me? I'm going to get water all over me, but I'm not going to get water in me. How do we drink of the Spirit? How do we drink? We drink by our speaking, by opening our mouths up. Are you listening? So it's so important that in order to stay filled, you have to speak. Everybody say, I'm going to speak. Amen. Glory to God. And so then we said, in order to be being filled, we have to first be filled. Amen. You have to have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if, again, you have not, just say, Lord, I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to receive what the Word says here. Glory to God. I tell you, you should get excited. How many who have been filled with the Holy Ghost can honestly say it's changed your life? I mean, it totally, completely, radically changed my life. Amen. And I'm so grateful for that. I believe it's for every Christian, and it's available to every Christian because it's a gift from God for you. Amen. And again, we will show you that in the Scriptures. But in order to better understand this morning, one of the let me just kind of go back over this little reviewing. The devil hates this. The devil does not want you to be filled with the Spirit. That is why he's fought against it for so many years. And that's why so many denominations fight against this as well. Come against this as well. They will say these things I said earlier. It's either passed away or it's of the devil. But what I can't comprehend and understand is what they base it upon. What their argument is. They try to come up with something. They pour a scripture from here or they pour a scripture from there. And we're going to actually get into that during this study. We're going to go and look at what they say and then go to the Word and see what it says. Amen? Because again, how many know that's important? Especially if that's been something that's blocked you from being able to receive. But when you see the truth of God's Word, what should that do? Open up your heart to say, glory to God. If God said it in His Word, if it is a gift from God, I want it. How many know if God's going to give you a gift, it's going to be a good gift? Again, it has radically changed my life, and it will radically change your life. But anyway, the devil doesn't want you to have this. And the main reason I believe he doesn't want you to have it is because of these benefits that we've been going over. How much speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit does for you as a Christian. And so we've looked at these different, I believe I have 9 different benefits of praying in the Holy Spirit. And we've already covered these, but I want to just real quickly review the first 6. I'm not going to go into these because I get caught up in them too much. But I want to mention them once again, and then we're going to move on this morning to the others, and then move on from there to another topic. Number 1, benefit of speaking in tongues is that speaking in tongues is for spiritual edification. It will literally charge you up spiritually. Number 2, speaking in tongues reminds us of the Spirit's indwelling presence. We should become God inside-minded, and that's one of the best ways to do so is by praying in the Holy Ghost. Number 3, praying in tongues is praying in line with God's perfect will. Do you understand that there is another will out there for you? You can. How does that scripture go? So that you may know what is that good and perfect. Help me. Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the point is, there is for some people, God will. You know that God will let you if you go to Him so many times concerning some stuff. And you got to understand how I'm saying this. He will eventually give in to you, even though it's not His perfect will for you. You might think, what are you talking about? For example, the children of Israel. The children of Israel just went to God over and over and over again. We want a king. We want a king. And God is saying, I'm your king. No, we want our king here like everybody else has a king. But I'm your king. Because we want a king. We want someone to rule and reign over us here on this earth. And so what they did is God finally said, okay, you can have a king. But it ended up bringing so much heartache to them because it was not God's perfect will for their lives. People have prayed. Brother Hagin, in his book, Tongues the Upper Room, he said that this one particular girl was just an incredibly on fire for girl. I mean, incredibly on fire for Jesus in her walk with God. She was just on fire for God. And she began to date a young man who said he was a Christian, but it didn't, Brother Hagin said it was obvious he wasn't a Christian. And she just, you know, said, God, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to marry this guy. I'm going to marry this guy. And God kept saying, no, you don't want to. She actually went to the altar and prayed, and God specifically told her, do not marry this guy. Do not marry this guy. And so she went away, and she actually said to Brother Hagin, God just told me not to marry him. I'm not supposed to marry him. Well, it wasn't a couple weeks later, she's engaged with this young man. She had continued to go to God and say to God, I believe I'm supposed to marry this guy. I want to marry this guy. I want to marry this guy. Even after God told her no, finally said, go ahead. You can, you know, go ahead and marry her if that's what you want to do. But he never said, that's my will for your life. And what ended up happening is this man became so possessive of her, he wouldn't even let her out of the house. He would lock her in the house. He was so jealous. He wouldn't let her go around town. He wouldn't let her talk to people. Didn't let her go to church. He broke things and did all this crazy stuff in her life. And it was all because she kept going to God. And God finally said, okay, you can do it. But it's not my perfect will for your life. See, God knows best. How many know that's true? And so, but when you pray in tongues, you can know that you're never going to pray that way. Because when you pray in tongues, you're praying out the perfect will of God. How can I know that? How can you know that? Because it's the Holy Spirit who's giving you the words, who's giving you the utterance. Do you think the Holy Spirit is going to give you words that are going to be contrary to the will of God? He is God. So that's no, never. Everything you ever pray in the Spirit is God's perfect will for your life. That's huge. That's huge. Number four, praying in tongues stimulates faith. It doesn't give you faith. It stimulates you in your faith walk. Number five, praying in tongues is a means of keeping free of worldly contamination. Why? Because your focus is on God and not on the things of this world. Your focus is on God instead of on your flesh. Amen. And let me throw this in real for free. If you're struggling in your flesh in any area, when you start to be tempted to do something you know you shouldn't be doing, lift your voice and begin to speak in other tongues. Hello? I mean, you're not going to do something of the flesh if you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, praise God. I thought it was a good revelation, but thank you, Jesus. Number six, praying in tongues enables you to pray for the unknown, those things that your natural understanding doesn't yet know. But you can pray out things in your life. You can find out exactly what God's plan and purpose is for you by praying in the Spirit. How many have ever found out what God's will? I mean, how did we come here? How did Pastor Joan and me come here? We spent, I don't know, untold amount of time praying in the Spirit. We lifted it to God. We knew it was going to be in the Northwest, but the Northwest is a big place. But as we kept praying in the Holy Ghost, and we kept praying in the Holy Ghost, I was awakened in the middle of the night, and it rose up in my heart, go to Bozeman and start a church. And so how did that come about? Because we spent time praying in the Spirit. That thing that was unknown to us became known to us. Okay, just nod your head, I guess. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? God won't do it just for me because I'm a minister. He'll do it for you. Do you want to know some things in your life that you don't understand right now? Do you want to understand where you're supposed to go to church more clearly? Do you want to understand if you're single who you should marry? You know, I did that before. And Pastor John can attest to this. I went out with girls all the time when I was at Rhema. In fact, I probably had more girlfriends, not girlfriend with one word, but girls who were friends, than I had boys who were friends. And it was simply from the perspective of when I went out with a girl, I always asked God to show me in my heart. Let me know in my heart. So I kept myself spiritually attuned by praying in the Spirit. When I went out with that particular individual, I would just know, nope, this isn't the one. And you know what I would do then? I would become that girl's friend. Someone that she could count on to be there for her. And I did this with all the, and sometimes the guys would get frustrated with me because, oh man, you're flirting with all. I'm not flirting with these girls. I'm here for these girls. I'm an opening ear. That doesn't even make sense. I have an open ear to them. I will listen to them. I will speak wisdom to them. Amen. But when Joan came into my life, well, I don't need to go into that. You want me to go into that? Yeah. I know. When Joan came into my life, at first I was thinking, no, this isn't the one. As you guys know, I was going to set her up with my brother. But then, glory to God, once she began to talk with me and I began to talk back with her, I knew in my heart, this is the one. And then what was so hard about that is once I knew, we still had to wait a period of time before we got married. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for his grace. Because I tell you what, you fall in love with somebody, you're in love with. Am I right? Thank you. Thank you, Riley, for that nod of appreciation. Amen. So can we pray out things we don't currently know? Can we pray for situations that we don't know what's going on in a person's life? Absolutely. And that's huge, especially if you got kids and you don't know what they're doing. Lift them to God and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, here's a new one. Number 7. Praying in tongues gives spiritual refreshing. Isaiah chapter 28. This is a prophetic word given out by Isaiah on speaking in tongues. And this is what it says. Isaiah 28 verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. How many believe that we're living in a very hectic world right now? I mean, there's crazy stuff going on right now. I have been, you know, trying to follow the politics, but I have had to really pull back because of what it has, you know, just watching the news these days, you never know what the news is telling you is the truth or not. And so it kind of gets you frustrated, gets you like, my goodness gracious. But the point I'm trying to make is there is so much turmoil in this world right now. I mean, it is probably gotten worse. You know, the darkness is growing darker. That's the easiest way I know to say it. There is so much unrest in the world today. How many know that we need to have the ability to find some rest and to be refreshed in our spirits? And God has given us the means right here by praying with another tongue, with stammering lips. We can find rest and be refreshed. And if you've ever done this before, you will know what I'm talking about. Because again, this is exactly what we have done, my wife and me have done on many occasions. Spend time alone with God, praying in the Spirit, when we feel the oppression. And that's not the word I'm looking for. What's the word I'm looking for? Just the press coming against us. So much challenge coming against us, trying to get us to give up, to quit, whatever the case might be. And we have found if we just get alone and pray with God, praying in the Spirit, we find that rest in Him. We get that to that place of refreshment in Him. Amen? Number 8. And this is a big one. By praying in tongues, you give thanks well. You give thanks well. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15 says this. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, that's in other tongues, and I will also pray with the understanding in his natural language. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, again, in tongues, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Can't be done, can it? I mean, if you ask me over to your house to eat your dinner with you, and it was me, and then you had a friend that was there, and you said, Pastor Dan, can you pray over the food? And when I began to pray over the food, all I did was speak in other tongues. Now, you would understand what I was doing, but if that person was not familiar with a person speaking in other tongues, would that person all of a sudden be able to say amen? Would they understand when to say amen? In other words, so be it. In other words, they understood what I was saying. Would that happen? No, absolutely not. Now notice, for you, verse 17, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So what you should do in that situation is speak in your own language so that the person who is unlearned can't understand what you're saying. Then when you get through with your praying, they then can say amen. I know this is so simple, but this is important to understand. Amen. We've got to see, and again, I'm just... People will run off into ditches with this, and what it ends up doing is it puts a, it makes it so, what's the word I'm looking for, Lord? I've been looking for words all morning long, hallelujah. It makes it so that praying in the Spirit becomes so, you know what I'm saying? Oh, it's so weird, it's so out there. Thank you. And that's not the way it should be looked upon. But for the when you have that kind of a situation where you pray over food, yes, you praise God and you thank God for the food he's given you. And you always end it with rubber-dub-dub, thank you for the grub, amen, dig in. Just kidding, that last part was a joke. Hallelujah. But the point I'm trying to get to here is when you have you, and this is, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a time of worship, whether here or at your house, in a private time, in your car, where you just felt inadequate with the words you were speaking in your natural, in English, I'll say it that way, words you were speaking in English, it just felt inadequate in praising God. Just felt like, my goodness gracious, God, I just don't feel like what I'm saying is given out the way I feel down here, the way my heart is so full of love for you. Well, God has given us a means to where we can give thanks well. How? By doing it in the Spirit. What you have to learn to do is lift your voice to God and by faith begin to step out and praise Him by singing or by talking or by speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. It is an awesome thing to praise God that way. And listen, it should be done in a private setting. However, I will say this. If you come to a church that believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you are having a time of worship, and God is really ministering to you, I am totally fine with people lifting their voices and beginning to praise God in other tongues during a service. As long as you're not being a distraction to those around you. I have been in services where people get so loud that it draws attention to them. And if attention is being drawn to you, it is not being drawn to Him from whence we should be lifting our voice. I don't know if I said that right, but you understand what I'm saying. We should never draw attention to ourselves. Our attention should be on Him and on Him alone. And if what you're doing is causing distraction amongst others, then what you're doing is either too loud or it's out of order. Hallelujah. I will sit up here, stand up here, when I'm praising God, and many times I will lift my voice and begin to speak in other tongues. Praise Him in other tongues. I'll just do it. Why? Because I just come to the end of my natural language and my ability to praise Him, and I've just got to keep going over into that language, that spiritual language He's given to me. And glory to God, I fully believe that I am able to magnify God. I'm able to worship God to a greater degree than I would otherwise. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? I tell you, if you really love to worship God, you're going to want to be able to do this right here. Speak in other tongues while you're praising Him. Number 9, speaking in tongues, and this is the last one, brings the tongue under subjection. The Bible says in James chapter 3, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Boy, it kind of makes you feel really good about your tongue, doesn't it? It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. What you've got to understand is learning to yield your tongue to the Holy Ghost, to speak in other tongues, is a giant step toward yielding all your members to God. Why? Because if you can yield your tongue, which the Bible calls right here an unruly member, an untamable, I mean, it's actually the most difficult part or member of our body to control. Isn't that something? You know, some people would say, no, Pastor Dan, it's the sexual organ. You can't control your sexual organ, you know, blah, blah, blah. People get out of control where that's concerned. Sure, people get out of control where that's concerned. But the one that is the most untamable, the one the Bible says is untamable, is what? Is our tongue. And if you can learn to control it by speaking in other tongues, by yielding it to God and speaking in other tongues, and you're able to keep it under control, then doesn't that mean as a result you should be able to keep under the rest of your physical body? And one of the things I've come to understand is this, is, see, we're called to present our body to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, right? But we're also called to yield our bodily members, all of our bodily members, to Him, to be used for Him as members of righteousness, to help Him in fulfilling His plan and purpose in the earth today. Amen. That's another thing. If you struggle with your flesh in any area, that you can yield your, you find yourself beginning to be tempted, just yield yourself to God right there. I yield myself to you right now, Lord God. I yield my bodily members to you right now, Father. And as you learn to do that, it will help you overcome the temptations when they come. Amen? Glory to God. Is everybody with me this morning? Do I need to go around and pinch everybody a couple of times and wake you up? Okay. Praise Lord. Well, that's the list of the benefits that I have right here listed that are available to those who can pray in other tongues. The baptism of, that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you speak with other tongues. Can you see why the devil fights against this so strongly? Can you see how this can definitely change your life for the better? Elevate your life. And you're going to see there's also much more than just what I've shared here. But the bottom line is this. If we're going to take full of these advantages, I mean, if we're going to take full advantage of these benefits, you must first be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, these will not be a benefit to you because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And see, I always kind of, I feel like I always need to say this. I don't know why I need to say it, but I just feel like I need to say it. That doesn't mean that you're a bad person if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you've never spoke with other tongues. That doesn't mean that. It just means that you do not have an understanding of what the Bible says in that particular area. And thus, that's what you should be excited to be in here this morning. Because you're hearing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it will benefit you spiritually. It will take you to the next level spiritually. Amen. Glory to God. Now go with me this morning to John chapter 14. I want to cover just real quickly some different things here. I want to share with you the difference between being born again and the Spirit coming to live within you and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit coming upon you. The Spirit within and the Spirit upon. John chapter 14. Number one, we must understand that the Spirit of God comes and takes up residence in the heart of every born again believer. And that right there is incredible and awesome to understand. That is a powerful truth. John 14, 16. You can look up here or you can look in your Bibles, however you want to do it. And I will pray the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and He will give you another helper. Parakletos is what that word is in the Greek. That He may abide with you, how long? Oh, isn't that good news? That He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and, notice, and will be in you. Glory to God. Now go on to the next one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is where? Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. 2 Corinthians 6:16. In what agreement has the temple of God, what is that referring to, the temple of God? That's us, our physical bodies, with idols. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell where? In them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Boy, that's such good news. And then finally, 1 John 4:4. I love this scripture. You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Or as I like to say, greater is he that is in me than he that is eternally defeated in this world. Friends, you, if you are a child of God, if you have been born again, have the greater one on the inside of you. You have God living in you. Woo! Glory to God. That's tremendous news. Would that change your life for the better if that became something that you thought about all the time? When you got up in the morning, you got up thinking, I've got the Holy Ghost in me. When you went to bed at night, you went to bed at night thinking, I've got the Holy Ghost in me. When you were taking your shower and you thought, I've got the Holy Ghost in me. When you're eating your meals, you could, everybody say, I've got the Holy Ghost in me. Woo! You got the Holy Ghost in you. You got God in you. Ow! God is in you. God, the one true living God, the all-powerful one, the all-knowing one, the everywhere at once God is in you. Hallelujah! Glory to God. You are a child of God. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. The new has come. And these things are of God. Hallelujah. He comes and takes up residence inside of you. I'm getting happy. See, I'm getting that revelation. It's not just mere words to me. This is truth to me. This is revelation knowledge to me. Who's giving me this revelation knowledge? The Holy Spirit, who's in me. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. I got the Holy Ghost in me. I got the Holy Ghost in me. I got the Holy Ghost in me. And I will have him in me through all eternity. Hallelujah. I got God in me. How can I ever fail? How can I fail in this life? How can I fail in this life? I got God in me. Do you think he's a failure? Oh, hallelujah. Do you ever have you ever had a time in your life when you just needed to know something? And so you sat there for hours on, God, let me know, no, what I need to do, God, please tell me. You just sat there for hours doing this, looking up. Why not go, God, can you let me know that right now? Let me know what I need to do here. Holy Spirit, help me to understand. He's in you. God is in you. And you might think, well, I've never heard from God. Have you ever read your Bible? Have you ever read your Bible out loud? That's God speaking to you. And doesn't the Bible say in the Gospel of John that we shall know his voice? He calls us by name, Ron. He calls us by name. He calls you, Monica. He calls you by name, Marianne. He calls you by name. He calls you by name. Hallelujah. I make the confession all the time, and you'll need to do this. I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. A stranger's voice I will not follow. I've got God on the inside of me. Is that important? Should it make a difference in our lives? Big time. Big time. When you get born again, God comes and lives on the inside of you. And notice that Jesus said forever. Hallelujah. Has the devil ever come along and fed you thoughts? You don't have what it takes to be a Christian. You're going to fall away. You're not going to heaven. You're going to fall away. Has he ever fed you that kind of junk? Open your Bible up and read the Bible to the devil. And let him know what the word says. Jesus said, what is that scripture? I got it right here. He says this. He may abide with you forever. Whew, glory to God. You know, the devil cannot take you out of the hand of God. Did you hear what I just said? I don't care what the devil's told you. I don't care how many times you've messed up. The devil cannot take you out of the hand of God. That's a huge word, and that's a word for somebody in this place right now. You have wondered and you have struggled and you have questioned your faith, where you're at. You have thought to yourself, I just don't believe I have what it takes to make it. The devil is a liar, friends. That is not God. And it's not even you. It's the devil feeding you those thoughts. If you have asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you're a child of God. I hope you're listening. You are a child of God. God did not bring us into his family as his child because of how good we are. Because if that was the case, if that was the qualification, none of us would have qualified. We get born again, how? By faith, right? Based upon what Jesus Christ has already done. And the moment I say, Jesus, come into my heart, be my personal Lord and Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I'm born again. And then nobody and nothing can take me from God. Even if in my stupidity and my ignorance of the Word of God, I turn from him and I walk away from him. God doesn't leave me. I hope you're listening. God doesn't leave me. If that was the case, I got born again when I was young. I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was young. But boy, I tell you what, I turned away from God big time. But through it all, he was there for me. He was there. Many times I didn't know it. But I've heard one minister say it this way. When we get to heaven, there are going to be some things up there that we're going to see how God protected us, how God kept us, and we're just going to fall on our knees and worship him all the more because of that very fact of how he did keep us during times when we had turned our backs on him. He did not turn his back on you. Glory to God. Somebody needs to hear this morning. I'm stuck on this right now. I want to get on, but I just feel like somebody needs to hear this morning. To God, you're valuable. To God, you are worth enough that he sent his very own son to die on the cross for you. Woo! Have you ever wanted to beat yourself up because of some stupid mistakes you've made? Maybe you're somebody who has struggled with sin in your life for years. I look up. I don't want anybody to feel like I'm looking at you. Maybe you felt like, my goodness, God, I've struggled. I've struggled, and I've, I don't know if I can ever do this, God. I keep messing up. I keep doing the same thing over. I keep messing up. And boy, I tell you what, God just showed me what it is too. Hallelujah. And you have felt worthless. And you have felt that you didn't belong. But God has said, wants you to know this. And I've said this to you on many occasions because this is what God has spoken to my heart, spoken to me over and over and over again, is I love you. And I believe in you. And I knew the struggles you would have in your life. And yet I chose you anyway to be my child. You can overcome this. You can be free of this if you'll look to me and you'll walk this out with me by the Spirit of God. Follow His lead and He'll put you on the path that I have for your life. Follow His lead and you'll never find yourself giving in to the temptations and entering into sin. Oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Do not allow a struggle in your life to keep you from an intimate walk with God. That's all it's about. Sin comes for the anointing on your life. You know, all of us are anointed. Did you know that? You know what I mean by anointing? His empowerment to do for Him what He can't do on the earth without us. He needs human beings, and sin takes that anointing. I don't want it gets us to the place where we're so caught up. And so, what's the word I'm looking for? Thank you, Holy Ghost. We get to the place where we feel like it's just not going to happen. And we want to give up. See, that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to give up. He wants you to stop believing that you can do this. But God is always there for you to encourage you when you have fallen to get back up. That's why the Bible says he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always there to pick you up no matter how many times you have fallen. Glory to God. I was listening to Callie Hargraves. She's the administrator and one of the pastors down in Baytown, Texas, where I'm going to be ministering at the 1st of October. And she has this podcast, and she was sharing this in her, I don't know if it's her son or her sister's son. Anyway, he was on there with her. But she said she had a dream recently. And in this dream, she was with Jesus. And Jesus was sharing with her all the wonderful things that she did for Him while she's on this earth, while she's been on the earth. And, you know, he shared some of the obvious things, you know, some of the different things she had done. But then he began to share with her different little things that she didn't even give it a second thought. Just going up to somebody and saying, bless you, or just going up to somebody and encouraging them. He was showing her all of these different things. And as she's sharing this, she's on the radio, she's crying, beginning to cry. But then she said, Lord, where's all the bad things I did? Remember this? And where's all those things I did wrong? And she said, the Lord spoke to her heart and said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You know God. When I did this, he goes, what are you talking about? Don't you know that my blood has already cleansed you from that? Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? We don't have to get down into condemnation and allow the devil to beat us up when we mess up. You want to stomp on the devil's head? Get up immediately and repent and say, glory to God, I know I messed up. Father, forgive me. And then keep going forward with God. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad that our God doesn't come and hit us with a hammer or hit us with a fly swatter or whatever your mental picture is when we mess up? I would be one messed up individual if that was the case, because I'd be getting the hammer. We all mess up. Thank God, he said, I've already made a way. All you got to do is repent, and the blood will cleanse you, and remove that sin as far from you as the east is from the west. And I choose now not to remember it anymore. Think about that. I've heard people say that God forgets. God doesn't forget. That's a mental issue when you forget something. God chooses not to remember. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. That is so incredible. So know this. When we get born again, God comes and lives where? In us. He comes and lives in us. God's in you right now if you're a child of God. He's in you right now. You got God on the inside. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just give you these scriptures right here and we'll close. In closing, number two, the Spirit of God comes upon the believer as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he comes and takes up residence in the heart of every born-again believer, but the Spirit of God will come upon the believer as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 4, and 5 says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then verse 8, Acts 1, 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has done what? Come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So when we get born again, the Spirit of God comes in. When we get filled with the Spirit of God comes upon. Amen. Now we're going to get more into this and we're going to break it down for you. And we're going to trust God, if you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, that the revelation will dawn on your spirit. And you will be able to step over in faith and receive this gift from God for you. And when you do, glory to God, your life will never be the same. It will be so much better. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord God, that this word.